Well, here we go. We're starting a new work week. Many going back to work for the first time in a couple of weeks. Maybe you had it off because the kids were out of school, or maybe you just had that flu bug that's been going around. It's still pretty prominent in Saskatchewan here today as well. So might be a few people missing from work or school because of the flu, but it's time to get back into the regular routine. The holidays are behind us now. Maybe not the Christmas tree. Didn't get that taken down. I thought I might yesterday, but ran out of time. Tree still up. If you bought a natural Christmas tree this year, you can, of course, drop it off at the Yard Waste Depot now till the end of January. And a bit of a problem, apparently, well, maybe not a bit of, but a major problem in our city right now, rodents. Looking to stay out of the cold as much as they are this time of the year. The problem is that they find a spot, and perhaps it could be in your own home. Sean Sherwood is with Poulin's Pest Control and tells me mice are a major problem.
Absolutely. It has almost taken over from cockroaches as our number one pest that we're dealing with on a daily basis. They're everywhere.
Do mice judge? Does it matter where you live?
No. Obviously, if you're on the outskirts of the city, you have the first right of refusal on whether they end up at your house, but they travel all over the place. We've got lots of green spaces. They live there, and they want a new place to hide so that they don't become dinner for an owl or something similar.
For all of those reasons, is there anything additionally that our mice population has exploded so badly here?
Well, we had a lot of snow last winter, and when the mice are hiding underneath the snow, it's really hard for the predators to find them, and they reproduce like crazy, as we know. And then we had excellent growing season. Everything was green and lush, and so that gave them a ton of food and a ton of places to hide. Then the farmers cut down all the crops, and Mother Nature took away the leaves and the grass, and they don't have anywhere to hide, and they don't want to be dinner, okay. So in they go.
Well, what do we got to do to stop it?
Well, it's never too late. First thing you need to do is go around the outside of your house and find any hole or opening bigger than your little finger and plug it up. After you've done that, then your garage, attached garage, is your next biggest Achilles heel. And we recommend a multiple catch mouse trap on either side of the door on the inside so you catch them as they come in. Because if they get into your garage, it's not going to be long before they're in your house. Be vigilant.
Unless you see one, is there any other ways to tell whether or not they're already there?
If you have a pet and they're constantly sticking their nose in a certain area, that might be an indicator that there's something going on there. If you see droppings on your counter or on your stove in the morning, that might be an indication that there's something going on there. If you hear sounds running in your false ceiling in the basement, that might be an indication that there's something going on there.
Good to know. Sean Sherwood, Poulin's Pest Control, my guest. The cockroach that is commonly known in Saskatchewan is called what?
The German cockroach is the one that we see 99.99% of the time. They're about 3/4 of an inch long. They're light tan with brown markings on them, and they're really quick. Cockroaches have been here forever. They live absolutely everywhere. They are always transported in. So if you go visit a buddy who has them, chances are you're going to bring them home. Grocery stores, not as much, because most of our stuff goes through a process that kills everything off in it. But some of the smaller corner stores that have limited resources to deal with them do have problems, but they're always brought in.
And Sean, you have limited resources, I think, to fight them. It's difficult, isn't it?
Becoming really difficult because we're down to 3 chemicals that we can use on them, and the main one, which is the safest for people, they're becoming very resistant to. So we're talking multiple treatments, and it's becoming costly.
Costly. Give us an idea. What is it end up costing you?
Well, you're going to end up looking at anywhere from $400 to $700 per treatment, and with the chemicals that we currently have available, it may well take 4, 5, or 6 treatments to get them done, and anybody who tells you that it's going to take less time is not telling you the truth. So you're looking at $3,000, $4,000, maybe even as much as $5,000 to get the cockroaches removed from your house. It's not cheap at all.
Ouch, up to $5,000. I can't imagine. But Sean, thanks for the update from Poulin's Pest Control, Sean Sherwood. Here we go, Monday, January the 5th. It's a little harder, wasn't it, to get out of the sack this morning after the holiday season, a few later nights, a lot of eating, visiting, and just generally relaxing a little more. But now we We got to get back into this routine. So let's do this together. I spent a few days in Edmonton over the holidays with the family. And for the record, there's snow removal there, non-existent. No matter where we went, I never saw a greater or a sander. And they had a lot more snow than Regina. So I just want to say it made me grateful for how well I think the city of Regina actually handled our snowfall in the last few weeks and getting the streets better. It was just awful. And Edmontonians just complaining all the time about how bad it was, too. So I tell you right now, it's a blast in Edmonton still. It's been a long time since I had returned to the West Edmonton Mall. That's a great mall still. Yeah, we took the kids. They shopped using all their gift cards, their own cash. Went to the water park. Yeah, that was fun. Went to an Oilers game New Year's Eve. Disappointing. They lost, but Connor McDavid did have a highlight reel pass on one goal, and that was kind of cool. And I will also say this. Edmonton has IHOP restaurants, and I love those for breakfast. And I'm excited to hear Regina's going to get one. It used to be Chili's. Then it became something else, I think, on Vic East. There's going to be an IHOP restaurant. It's an American chain, but I love their pancakes. I don't know what it is. I just always have a good breakfast there. But I see they've established a Facebook page, too, in Regina. Someone sent me the link on that. We drove, obviously, to Edmonton, but I will say this. Something I saw a lot over the weekend was this video showing legroom on a WestJet plane in Edmonton. It's gone viral. You see a couple sitting in a row of three people, and their daughter is in the aisle before the aircraft takes off, shooting a video of the lack of leg room in this new WestJet aircraft.
Yeah, can you just straighten out your legs there?
That's impossible.
Mom, how about you?
Yeah, well, I'm
going to
be showing my leg space.
New planes. Yeah.
Yeah, new planes that have absolutely no leg room. When you see this video, from the knee down, you can't see their legs because they're already under the seats in front of them. It's ridiculous. There's no extra room at all in this, and not even enough to assume the crash position if they were asked. It's the future of flying? I don't know. And then I see an awful lot of people complaining about, it's both, really, but WestJet seems to be the one on social media. A lot of people are annoyed, particularly Mexico flights in or out. There's always a problem, it seems, delayed flights. It's just a whole different scenario when you fly now. You got to allow yourself extra time. You actually have to take extra days just in case your flight is delayed going when it comes to planning a holiday. You got to think about that now. It's kind of crappy, isn't it? Great game for Czechia last night. They beat Team Canada 6-4. An even greater game, though, was the Ravens and Steelers. Winner captures the AFC North, punches their ticket to the playoffs. The Ravens, they had just regained the lead late in the fourth when, with a minute left, 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers puts the Steelers just where they want to be, but they couldn't convert for the extra point. So there's still opportunity for Baltimore, but it comes down to their kicker, Tyler Luke, the young man who'd taken over one of the most accurate kickers that Baltimore ever had. Justin Tucker, he's gone, but Tyler Luke, shining or not in his final opportunity to do it all, and
Tyler Luke from 44. Snap good. Holding. The kick is no good. It is wide right. And the Steelers are the champions of the North.
Shocker. He missed his first field goal inside of 50 yards all season. His teammates on the sideline when they showed them. Happy New Year. Hope you had a great holiday season and ready to get back at her today. Or are you a little under the weather? The flu season has spiked in this province. It started late November through December. In many households, I have heard how kids have missed school or people have missed work. I know that was the case to my household at 1.2. And in late November to mid-December, test positivity has jumped in this province from 14 to well over 40%, and Dr. Joseph Blondeau with the SHA said there's been a high prevalence of influenza A right across all age groups, especially, though, in younger and older. And he said, hey, there's only so much you can do.
What's resulted in an increase in visits to physicians or to emergency rooms
and even an increase in hospitalizations. And that's been fairly uniform across the country.
Yeah, flu shots are still available and still an option. And they're calling it the super flu. And if you're wondering how you know the difference between the flu or cold, fever is the big one, right? Fever and a cough. You can also have a sore throat, muscles ache and fatigue. But I know COVID can also cause that. But there's so much more flu going around than anything else right now. The assortment of fever, sore throat, cough, fatigue, muscle aches. Very likely you have the flu. And whether or not to go to the doctor, well, that's the question a lot of people have too. But if you have a serious fever, like you're dehydrated, maybe you're not going to the bathroom as much, dry lips, difficulty breathing, low levels of energy, that's when you probably want to seek medical attention too. But talk to your doctor. It's just going around right now. As we step into the new year, Regina specifically navigating a few changes in 2026. We got a mill rate increase, the largest in our history, 10.9% mill rate for the average homeowner. How about $275 or just give or take there per year more. User fee increases coming in April. Transit fares will increase by 10%. Parking tickets up another 10. Parking meters by 50 cents an hour. In fact, they're going to get rid of downtown parking meters. They're being removed in favor of non-cash payment methods like using an app. And of course, in the spring, the 11th Avenue revitalization will return for one last year, and they'll continue work on the indoor aquatic center. It's some major events coming this year, too. I see the National Gymnastics Festival. That's a huge one in June. Brings over 1,000 participants along with their families and friends. So that's a good economic driver. Canada's Farm Show will be back in March. Yes, it's earlier again now. And the city will be hosting the Saskatchewan Men's and Women's Curling Championships. Foo Fighters coming to Mosaic in September. Maybe even yet another outdoor concert at Mosaic. I know previously they were working on trying to get two shows rolled in there, but who knows? Lots to look forward to in 2026. Last night of the World Juniors, not so lucky for Canada. Czechia did it again. That game had a lot in it. You know, at one point, tied at two, Canada awarded a penalty shot. Goaltender for Czechia trips, and he's awarded yet another penalty shot. Tries the same move, but is foiled again. But, yeah, Hagee, he had two penalty shots, three posts he'd hit already in the game, just snake-bitten there. We go into the third, Canada down 3-2, but we tie it up only to see the Czechs take the lead again 6 minutes later. Then we're down 4-3. But with under three to go, Canada's captain, Porter Martone, ties it up. However, heartbreak again for the Canadians.
Curran moving in. Curran with a chance. Rebound, Luther from the score.
Yeah, the puck went off a couple skates before going in there. And Czechia retakes the lead for the fourth time in the game. And then it just all unraveled.
What about us? What about all the broken happy ever after? What about us? What about
us? Well, over the weekend, President Donald Trump confirmed that U.S. military forces captured Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro and his wife, and the pair will face drug and weapons-related charges later today in New York. And Trump also said the U.S. would be taking charge of Venezuela's oil reserves and that American companies would invest billions to rebuild the oil infrastructure in the country. Now, that would probably take a lot of time to accomplish, but it's still an opportunity for them. What might this all mean, though, for Canada's oil industry in the long run? I thought I'd ask CJMB business analyst Paul Martin to join me now. Paul, thank you for being here. So what about it? What's it mean for our industry and our economy?
Hearing like you are that, well, there's this big oil reserve that America can tap into. Does that threaten the Canadian, you know, connection? And I suppose theoretically it does. But, you know, look, there's a fixed amount of production in the world every day right now, and there's a fixed amount of consumption, and those two are kind of close. There's probably a bit more production than consumption. And the oil that's been coming out of Venezuela has found its way into the markets. They're going, a lot of it's sanctioned, but it goes through, you know, what would be the Russian and Chinese pipelines. If that gets diverted somewhere else, then those guys have to replace it, and they'll go somewhere else. And if we get displaced, then you see where I'm going with this. It just ends up kind of flowing in different directions. But look, if you're going to redevelop the Venezuelan fields, that's going to take a long time. So we've got lots of time to figure this out, too. And maybe that's the good news, and this becomes less of a business story, more of a political one, because it puts pressure on Ottawa now to say, well, if Canada is no longer going to or is going to lose some of its market in the States, then we have to find alternate markets, which means we need to get pipelines going. So this is one more weight on the scale of towards pipeline approvals in this country. And you know what that's been all about. We've talked about that before. And I suspect that's where we're going to go with this, is the conversation is going to be, how does Canada get its product to market? And, you know, one of its biggest market is being threatened now, potentially threatened at least. And we still import oil in this country on the east side. So should we be looking at that Energy East pipeline again? Do we need to make sure we get the West Coast pipeline going, or do we go north, or do we do all of the above? So I think it's as much a political conversation, Greg, as it's going to be a business one.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's more of a business story, particularly for us. And now that Trump has potentially one of the biggest oil reserves on Earth, how do you think this might even affect our leverage on the Kuzma deal here in the coming months? Do you think at all?
Absolutely. It's going to be a part of the conversation. And, I mean, we've heard Trump say before, we don't need anything from Canada. And so this will just add to, you know, his belief of that situation. But, look, most of our oil goes, it's contracted to refiners in the middle of the U.S. and the Midwest and stuff like that. So, you know, are they going to be redirecting? They probably would need to do a whole lot of pipeline construction down there, too. It's a specific type of crude that comes out of Venezuela that isn't can't be readily used in every refinery that's out there. So maybe it's as disruptive to the existing supply chain as anything. But on paper, you look at it and you say, well, the U.S. perhaps is now tapping into the world's largest reserves. And do they need any other suppliers? I think it's a legitimate question, but we're a long ways, years probably, from getting an answer. And well, the pivotal one for me is, will industry actually sign up for this? And do they want to go back in there and until they know just what is going to settle out politically in Caracas? And will whatever administration gets put in place there, whether it be an American or a Venezuelan, will it bring stability? Will, if I'm going to pour billions of my shareholders' money into that, do I have a chance of not only getting it back, but making a return? These are big questions you have to be resolved.